Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for gathering us here. And we pray, God, as we go into your word, may you speak to us, Lord. We ask for your convicting word to come into our hearts, Lord, and just for us to respond and to worship in kind, Lord. We thank you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's turn to Leviticus chapter 10. Don't groan. We're not talking about laws and all that fun stuff. Leviticus 10. Okay, we'll read from verses 1 to 7. Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Then Moses said to Aaron, "It is what the Lord spoke, saying, 'By those who come near me, I will be treated as holy, and before all the people, I will be honored.' So Aaron, therefore, kept silent. Moses called also to Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Aaron's uncle Uziel, and said to them, 'Come forward, carry your relatives away from the front of the sanctuary to the outside of the camp.' So they came forward and carried them still in their tunics to the outside of the camp, as Moses had said. Then Moses said to Aaron and to his sons Eleazar and Ithamar, 'Do not uncover your heads nor tear your clothes, so that you will not die, and that he will not become wrathful against all the congregation. But your kinsmen, the whole house of Israel, shall bewail the burning which the Lord has brought about. You shall not even go out from the doorway of the tent of meeting, or you will die. For the Lord's anointing is upon you.' So they did according to the word of Moses." Amen. Okay, so this is very curious or strange or interesting episode in the Bible. And the usual question that is asked when people read this is, what is this strange fire that Nadab and Abihu offered up before the Lord? What did they give, or why, you know, like, why did the Lord strike them down? Like, what was it about their attitude or what they offered up that caused their death? And to ask this question, it's not an illegitimate question. It's a worthy question to ask. But I believe to really get at, you know, the answer you want to come to, or the conclusion that will kind of satisfy us, is to really ask another question. Because this question really doesn't give you the correct answer. A lot of times I tell my wife or my students, if you're searching something on Google, you have to know what the correct answer is, or the correct search, in order to come to the correct answer, or what you really want to know. And so to ask the question, what was this strange fire, is kind of like bringing a baseball glove to a hockey rink. You're not bringing the right thing to the correct venue. And I was watching a lot of hockey yesterday. Stanley Cup playoffs are on, by the way. Anyone? No? Okay. The right question in this case is, why did Nadab and Abihu decide to bring an incense offering in the first place? It's not what did they do. It's like, why did they decide to do it? And to understand this, we have to go all the way back to the beginning of Leviticus, or the narrative so far in Leviticus 1 to 9. And to give you a quick summary, what was happening from chapter 1 to the end of chapter 8 is God is giving all these instructions on how to come before him with all these offerings, whether it's a burnt offering, the sin offering, the peace offering, and he's giving them all these laws and commandments. And in essence, the entire book of Leviticus is God's way of teaching the Israelites how to live in the presence of God, how to worship him, how to interact with him. And one of the great phrases in Leviticus is this phrase, "Be holy, for I am holy." And so the whole book of Leviticus, especially from chapter 1 to the end of chapter 8, is this idea that God is teaching them, this is how you are to be holy, especially in how you worship me and how you approach me. And so up until chapter 10, we see this playing out. At the end of chapter 8, Moses finishes speaking, and in verse 36, "Thus Aaron and his sons did all the things which the Lord had commanded through Moses." So 1 until 8:35, it's all instruction. This is how you're to worship. It's like, you know, it's like me telling my welcomers, "Oh, this is what you do when you welcome. You know, you pass out the bulletins, you go see people at the coffee bar, you say hi to them, anyone wandering around, wandering around in the foyer, you approach them, you ask them how they're doing, you know, how they find about SP and this and that and so on and so forth. And in chapter 9, Aaron and his sons begin to offer sacrifices. Now, verse 22 to 24 is kind of the very important in this chapter, so I'll read it. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them, and he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. Okay, so he was doing according to what God had commanded through Moses. He did all this, okay, in verse 23. Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting, and when they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Then fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the portions of the fat on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. So you have the priest, Aaron, offering up these sin offering, burnt offering, and the peace offering. And the glory of the Lord comes and shows up and consumes the offering. And the people that are gathered, they see this and they're amazed and they're astounded and they're shouting. It doesn't really say whether... You know, I'm reading into it, but the text doesn't say whether they're shouting out of fear, out of amazement, out of reverence, out of, I don't know what it was. Because you see, in the narrative in Exodus, people were afraid of the presence of God, or people worshipped at the presence of God. So we don't really exactly know what it is, but it could be a combination of everything. Maybe some people are like, wow, it's God, or some people are like, oh crap, it's God. Either way, there was this great commotion, and then immediately after, we have Nadab and Abihu, who would have been in that crowd, and they go in and decide to offer up strange fire. I like to think that they were kind of in awe of what they had seen and were responding to what they experienced. This is kind of what I feel like. I could be completely wrong. But I kind of see it like Peter and during the transfiguration where he sees Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. The Matthew narrative and the Luke narrative doesn't really bring this out as much, but in Mark, it says that when Peter saw the three of them, Jesus transfigured and Moses and Elijah with him, he goes, oh, we should build three tabernacles for you guys here because this is the proper thing to do. But Mark makes a commentary and says, he said this because he was afraid. You know, there are times when you encounter something and, like, it shakes you that you don't really know what to do and you just do something, like, really silly? This is a little bit different, but last week I was at the plaza across the street from my house and there's an altercation between a lady and a grocery store worker. And the lady was, like, cursing out the grocery store worker because apparently she had bumped into her with a shopping cart and so like cursing out, and then she leaves and she comes back and she's still cursing, and then she like hits the grocery store worker in the back, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Chinese people, Hong Kong people, you're so stupid, right? And then this guy comes over, grabs the lady who hit the grocery store worker, and is like, I'm calling the police, bogging. And then the lady just starts breaking down and like getting all hysterical. I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, well, serves you right, you know. But at the same time, it's like she didn't know, like, all this stuff happened, and she didn't really know how to react, so she just kind of cried and, like, went crazy. And it went on for a good 20 minutes because I didn't stop and stare just to see what happened. I was waiting for my food. But I think that's kind of what happened. Nadab and Abihu, like Peter, they saw this great sight. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what do we do, what do we do? And they just... Oh, let's offer before the Lord. Let's give an offering. And you know, at times when we see God doing stuff, we just don't really know how to explain it, or it doesn't make sense for us. And for us, we're like, oh, you know, people have different reactions. Like last year at a retreat, when Bobby Connor started praying for people, people started like falling down, like boom, 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 one after the other. And I know that there were some people that, you know, it was the first time that they've experienced something like this. And so they're a little bit freaked out. And so like, well, what's going on? And so I know one person left, went outside. I talked to them. They're visibly agitated. not upset, but just didn't know how to do it. And some people, they, you know, they praise God and whatever it was. So Nadab and Abihu, they saw the presence of God, right? And they're like, okay, well, let's go into his presence and let's grab whatever we could and let's give him an offering. And in their excitement, they forgot about all that Moses had commanded them in the first 8 chapters. Because they were so excited about encountering the God that they rushed in without thinking. Now, there's a passage that actually explains or provides, sheds light into this excitement. It's in Exodus 24. So you can turn there. This is Exodus 24, verses 9 to 16. Then Moses went up with Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire, as clear as the sky itself. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against the nobles of the sons of Israel, and they saw God, and they ate and drank. Now the Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and remain there, and I will give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandment which I have written for their instruction. So Moses arose with Joshua his servant, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. But to the elders he said, wait here for us until we return to you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a legal matter, let him approach them. Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, he called to Moses from the midst of the cloud. So in this passage, Nadab and Abihu have encountered the presence of God. They saw God, and yet they were not struck down. They got to as close to God as one could get, aside from Moses. And then God goes, Moses, come up here. I want to meet with you face to face. So they were, I mean, this part is a little bit confusing because they were in the presence of God or they saw God. And yet God calls Moses up to him. So I think in my mind, I would think of it as like God was there, but not immediately there. It's kind of like how Pastor Kenny's in the back of the room and Ken is, you know, in the middle of the room. I don't know. But the point I want to make here is that Nadab and Abihu, they saw God. They ate and dined in the presence of God. And I'm sure for them it was a wonderful experience. You know, like, oh my gosh, I'm not dead. Because earlier in Exodus, people were afraid to approach the mountain. And they sent Moses, like, you go talk to God. We don't want to hear his voice because if we hear his voice, we're going to die. Or we fear we're going to die. But now Nadab and Abihu, they're eating in the presence of God. Or they see God. They're in his presence. And like, I'm not dead. What a wonderful experience. And then they see Moses go off. I'm like, what? How come he gets to go? Or maybe they're afraid. I don't know. I feel like they, in some ways, we're maybe a little bit jealous of Moses. Like, why does he get to go into the presence of God? Why don't, like, I want to go. I want to experience that too. And so we come back to Leviticus. And so Nadab and Abihu, they see the glory of God come. And I think in their minds, they're like, this is our opportunity that we didn't get in Exodus. This is our opportunity to go before the Lord. Quick, let's get whatever we can and let's bring an offering to him. We get to come before the Lord. We get to worship before the Lord and experience his presence and his glory. And so they go in. And they lose their lives. What they offered to God, they had the right heart. They really did. But what they offered was according to their terms. They decided what God needed from them. I'm going to worship you, God. Like, the heart is there, but I'm going to do it on my own terms. I'm going to bring, you know, inadvertently, maybe they forgot in their excitement, but they decided to bring what they wanted to bring. And as the book of Leviticus is teaching the Israelites how to live in the presence of God or how to worship him, I think this episode teaches us that we really need to be careful in the way we worship him, you know, even in our good intentions. You know, for example, is, you know, in our Sunday service, when we come on Sunday, you know, are we coming with the right heart? Or are we preparing our hearts to worship him? If we're coming in 10 minutes late, like, how prepared is your heart? And I'm guilty of this myself too. Like, I'm not showing up 10 minutes late. Even we show up 20 minutes early, half an hour early. Like, a lot of times on Sunday, as part of the staff, we're just busy running around, and I don't feel like we get proper time to ready our hearts for service, to worship God. Or, you know, another way this manifests is if we feel a burden to help the Lord in a certain way, whether it's offering up money or opening up our house, or we just feel a burden to serve the Lord, and we just kind of do, okay, whatever makes sense. And that's not a bad thing. Like, our hearts are in the right place. Or we look at something that has worked in the past. Oh, let me just do that. In the past, God has called me to give $5,000 to this person. And so now there's another need. Well, $5,000 seems like a good amount. And again, it's not bad. But what if God is asking us to give more? What if God is asking us to give less? I mean, if you look at Moses, later in Numbers, he strikes the rock at Meribah for water to come out, instead of what God had asked him to do, which is to speak to the rock. See, God asks us to do things. Sometimes we understand them, sometimes we don't, but he's very clear in his instruction of what to do. And I think this episode teaches us that when we come to worship God, it really must be on his terms, which means that it's on the basis of relationship and not ritual. It's not, there are guiding principles and guidelines that we do worship God, or we worship God according to, but it's really on the basis of relationships. As well-meaning as Nadab and Abihu were, they acted on their own terms. Again, I really believe that Nadab and Abihu acted out of good intentions. It's not like, well, let us disrespect the Lord. I mean, inadvertently they did, but consciously they're like, yeah, you know, kind of like to give like a twist on the story, because a lot of times we're looking like, what, you know, what knuckleheads? But I think they had good intentions, and we have good intentions in coming before the Lord. Yeah, we want to come to Sunday service, but sometimes we just, you know, for whatever reason, there's traffic in the morning, or a taxi driver has BO, or there's Standard Chartered Marathon. So, you know, whatever the reason is, we just get distracted. We forget why we're coming before the Lord, or our hearts just aren't there. And, you know, even as we approach the retreat, is this something that we do because, or like, is our attitude, okay, retreat, again, cool, like, awesome, but, eh. We do this every year. And, you know, for myself, I certainly feel that sometimes. Or I feel like for the upcoming retreat, I haven't really thought too much about it. I mean, it's one of our biggest events of the year. And, yeah, I mean, for me, I feel like I need to repent of my attitude and to, you know, really pray in and wait to see what God is going to do. It's not that now that we're praying, God is going to show up. I feel like God is going to show up regardless. Speaking of the retreat, God is going to show up regardless of whatever we do, whatever, you know. He's going to be there. I think that prayer part really readies ourselves. Are we going to be able to perceive, able to see what he's doing, able to spot it? It's kind of like those 3D pictures where you close your eyes and let one eye go lazy and like, oh, there's the image. Are we going to be able to see it? So as Pastor Nate comes up and lead us into worship, you know, let Holy Spirit speak to you. maybe start off with the question, now, how is he asking us to worship him in the way he prescribes? So, Father, we thank you for this morning, God. Lord, as we worship, as we reflect, God, I pray for our ears to be open to what you are saying, God, what you are showing us, and how it is that you are prescribing us to worship you. Father, we repent for the times that we have come to you on our terms, whether it's on our schedule or in our own ways. But Father, we pray, God, first for your forgiveness, Lord, for your mercy, God. We also pray for your grace to show us, Lord, how it is that you're calling each and every single one of us individually to worship you, God, to respond to you. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For the Lord.
Let's pray for those in our community who are suffering from cancer and undergoing chemo and radiation therapy and other surgeries. Let's pray for God's healing hand on them. For God to fill them with strength as they go through this season. For those who are sick, have yet also to receive the word of Christ into the hearts. Let's pray for a hope to rise. Let's pray for our friends who are praying for them, that they have the strength, and just for God to give them the word to speak truth into the family's lives. Pray for those in our community that are suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for quick healing. Let's pray for perseverance as they continue to pray to God for their conditions. Pray for those that are looking for jobs. Let's pray for God to open doors and opportunities up for them. Turning to our mission focus, let's pray for our church plants just across the world, SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, SPIL, and SP New York. Let's pray for all these congregations and that God will move powerfully in amongst them. Let's pray for our education department, SP Kids, SP Youth, and the college students. Let's pray for all the students from youngest to the oldest that they get to encounter God as they go through Sunday school, their Sunday programs, and that they grow in stature and in the wisdom of the Lord. Lift up the IP, the well and the river, our prayer and healing ministries. Let's pray for our outreaches tonight, SB Lights and Homie Outreach. Let's pray for the families and the ladies that these ministries reach out to. Let's pray for God to work powerfully through our members as they go out into the field. Pray for our house churches tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Let's pray for a good first week back from the break and for good discussion and fellowship. Let's pray for the retreat. Let's pray for Pastor Brian as he comes in. Let's pray for logistics and people's schedules, that there will be no last-minute dropouts or anything that comes up in the work schedules to prevent them from coming to the retreat. Let's pray for our buses, people's visas, and just people's hearts as we get ready to encounter God. Let's pray for the retreat. Thank you, God. We thank you that you do come to meet with us, Lord, that you do show your presence and that you do that you are in this place, Lord. And so, God, we thank you Lord, for your mercy and for your grace, God. And we just pray, God, that you, we pray, Lord, that our passion, God, and our desire to meet with you is met with the right approach, God, that in our zeal and our excitement, Lord, to be in your presence, God, that we are worshiping on your terms, God, that we are offering up to you something that you have requested. We are offering something to you that is pleasing to you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.